These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones as promised. Here's Pete in Delaware on the Celts. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, I don't think they're going to be able to move up, but I think it's interesting that, Danny's doing his due diligence because the Sixers were trying to move up, and Brett Brown, that clown, is running the team right now. So, you know what? Maybe you get the Sixers to overpay to move up, which wouldn't surprise me. And, oh, by the way, Mike, you were so right on about Danny Ainge and Grayson Allen. That is a perfect analogy.
Same guy.
And it would not shock me if he's on the Celtics tomorrow.
Same guy. Little rat. Absolutely. It's Ainge as a player. Boy, was he a rat.
And they can both shoot.
So, perfect sort of Celtic. I don't know how he fits on the team, et cetera, et cetera. You put Grayson Allen at the line and just, bombs away, right?
No, totally. I think in a lot of ways, he, for that point of the draft, a guy like that could help him. He can shoot threes and defensively at least be in the right place, I think.
No, he'll trip you up pretty good. Gary in Maine, go ahead.
I was wondering if you think they should stand pat tonight, and I'd like to know what are their exact assets for next year.
Okay, so they have 4 first-round picks next year, Gary.
They do.
Potentially 4 first-round picks, including their own, and then one that will convey, whether it's Sacramento or Philadelphia, most likely Sacramento, in the top 10. They have then a Memphis pick that should convey next year, and then
right.
a Clippers pick that could convey next year.
Right.
So they could have 4 first-round picks next year.
Right. Memphis is top 8 protected. I was looking this up before the show, and the Clippers pick, I think, is top 14. So, in theory, they could end up with, number 2, number 9, number 15, and then, their own.
And to me, 9, 15, and their own are worthless. To them. If they're all packaged up, are they worth anything to anybody else? I don't know. I mean, the NBA capologists and the money guys will tell you that first-round picks have never been more valuable because of the cap, and I'm going to ask you to do that on your own time.
Second-round picks.
Is it really second-round picks?
Yeah, because they don't count against the cap. So, the Lakers, I'll keep this short. Don't worry, I won't bore your listeners. Our listeners. But the Lakers just acquired a couple second-round picks because they don't count against the salary cap so that they can go out and spend as much potential free agency money on LeBron, Chris Paul, Paul George as they can.
So, I don't know. Look, to me, if you like this draft and you're on a roll, I want them packaging those picks and moving up this year. I really want them selling high on Terry Rozier. That's what I'm really into because I don't think... I think Rozier is just a guy. I really do. And if you can get someone to think he's more than that and overpay for him, do it now. Sell high. Adam in the car. Go ahead, Adam.
So the only two guys that I've heard you talking about moving up for is Luka Doncic and Mo Bamba. And Luka Doncic is a 6'8 point guard who doesn't play defense. And Mo Bamba is a tree, like Nerlens Noel. Or, maybe if he's at his best, it's Rudy Gobert, but he's not a Brad Stevens guy. What's amazing to me is I've never heard anybody mention the name Jaren Jackson from Michigan State. And if one of you guys just Googles his skill set, he's exactly what Brad Stevens wants. And I'm not saying he's going to get him, but if you're going to move up in the draft, there's nothing that we need more than a big man that that actually plays defense.
Okay, so let me just cut you off.
He's Jermaine O'Neal, no thank you.
Hold on. Mo Bamba's not our guy. That was reported elsewhere. That's not our...
Do that on your own time.
That's not our intel. Our intel is Luka Doncic. But this Jackson kid?
Well, so look, I'm saying the only reason we've mentioned the guys we have is because they've both been linked to the Celtics in different reports. There hasn't been anything that's linked them to Jackson. I haven't seen a lot of Jackson. A lot of people love his game. So, look, and the way the Celtics operate on some levels with everyone except Jimmy, it feels, they throw fake names out there and they end up getting the guy they really want. So a year ago, we were all talking about Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball, and they end up taking Tatum, and no one really saw that coming. So, to me, is it possible they'd want Jackson? Sure, absolutely. Yes, I'd tell you there are other guys on that list that are probably good fits for what they want to do. Bagley's got a good offensive game. Porter was projected to be the number one pick overall as recently as 8 months ago. So if they could get a big guy that can shoot on top of it, they would absolutely do it.
Quickly, what do you got on Bagley, Stu?
So if Bagley doesn't go to the Sacramento Kings and he might start to slide a little bit, I could see the Celtics moving up into that 5-6-7 range to get Bagley.
Okay, there's another name for you to
consider. Bagley's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Will and Waltham, go ahead.
Hi, I just don't know why you guys want to trade out of next year's draft so bad. if I was the GM, you know, I say you keep your high pick in 2019, try to get a young game changer like Zion Williamson. So,
okay, so now
maybe send Horford packing because he's soft, you know. You can have Zion at center next year, dunk on everyone's mouth. I think everyone agrees that'd be better than watching the Euro kid brick free throws and tear his ACL.
Okay, well, yes, I'd rather have someone dunk on someone's mouth than watch a Euro miss free throws and sprain an ankle or whatever you just said. Yes.
Did he say Zion at center?
Yeah, I don't know who he's talking about.
Okay, he's 6'6 and he's fat. So look, this is Murray's internet sensation, right? He's going to Duke next year. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's projected in the top five of the draft.
Seemingly on the cover of every other issue of Slam magazine for the last 6 months.
But he's a whale. He is a whale.
And he's only 6'6"?
He's 6'6". He's
Barkley.
And he can't shoot. Barkley could shoot at the end, maybe not at the beginning. But at the end, he could shoot. That kid's not going to be a center. What the hell is that guy talking about?
TJ and Lowell, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big fan of the show. Anyways, Murray mentioned it earlier. Dwight got bought out today. I wouldn't have wanted him at any other point in time, but at this point in his career, at least on our team on offense, it'd be like a fifth option. Just some
Hold on. Dwight Howard. Right. I thought he was traded.
Yeah, and now they're finalizing a buyout because the Nets don't want him either. The Hornets didn't want him. The Charlotte Hornets.
No.
As irrelevant a franchise as there is.
No.
They trade his ass to the Nets, and now the Nets don't want him. They're finalizing a buyout.
No.
You're going to get him, Maz, because Chris Mannix just tweeted minutes ago.
He's wrong.
I spitefully hope he's right. And
no.
I hate the player, too. I hate him. He's a locker room problem. He's a team killer. But still.
He's a loser.
Chris Mannix tweeting, Howard a fascinating free agent, Maz. Does he ring chase?
No.
Nets are paying him $20-plus million anyway.
No.
And tuck this away, Tony Maserati. Danny Ainge has liked and expressed interest in Howard in the past.
Howard's a bum. No.
You love bigs. This is your big.
Yeah, he's a bigger Carmelo. No. Is what he had. No. 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 If Danny Ainge brings in Dwight Howard, my opinion of him as an evaluator will drop three notches. Not one. Not two. Three. Dwight Howard is a loser. He's a bum, and he's a loser. Do not bring that guy in here.
I would agree, but now with that reaction, I think I want the spikes.
Me too. Of course you do.
Me too.
Of course you do, Murray.
There's another Dwight Howard story if you're interested.
Because it is becoming your mission to spite me, Murray.
The Atlanta Hawks signed Dwight Howard to a contract a few years ago. Al Horford found out about it, and he left the Hawks because of Dwight Howard.
I'm telling you, no. No, don't get this guy. No. He is... Oh, God, he's the worst of the worst. He's a talented, unmotivated bum. No. No, 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 no.
His points per game are actually up last year.
He's a bum. No.
Yeah, I've come around on it.
So, I'm a hard no.
The very latest on the Celtics and the NBA rumors across the league. So all that stuff. You'll hear it here first, and we continue to discuss with you at 617-779-0985. We'll give the latest on the Patriots coming up right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Bass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
I think there will be a walk-off if he wins this year a Super Bowl. I think it won't be 45 years old. I think he'll walk off and say, the game's been amazing to me, and now I'm going to figure something else out.
Now I'm going to.
Do you think he would have done it if they'd won this year?
I think there was a chance. I think there was a chance.
That's the way to go out, right?
Didn't Peyton do
it? Peyton didn't even play. I was standing in the tunnel, and he was the first. Belichick ran in. He ran in after the Super Bowl, and that was almost my first thought. So he's definitely not retiring now.
Right.
He looked so disappointed and angry, like this was not how things were supposed to go.
Like he went straight from there to work out.
Yeah.
Okay, a few Patriots items. William McGinnis saying that if Patriots win this year, there's a chance for Brady to walk off. If he had won last year, he would have walked off. This is the exact thing they can't have. They can't have that. They can't have the thing being, is he going to play or not? Is he going to retire or not? If we win, he retires. If he doesn't, he stays. If he loses, he retires. If we win, we don't. You can't do it that way. You have, you know, next year at the draft. Is Brady playing for us next year in 2 years or not? Should we be really loading up to draft a guy this year or not? Well, what's Brady going to do? Well, we don't know. So do we draft the guy or not? So that's why you can't have that.
Of course.
So you can't, that is, when John Elway walked away, everybody knew. Didn't we all know?
Yes.
I mean, I believe we did. And I don't know why I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure we all knew it was his last game, win or lose.
I mean, even Peyton Manning, who didn't formally announce it, no one expected him back. And I would say in their minds at the time, the Broncos were reasonably prepared for it.
Brady doesn't have to tell us. You know, we've read and heard that Brady doesn't want the farewell tour sort of thing, which I totally get. And actually, I respect. So that's fine. He doesn't have to tell the public, and that's no problem. He's got to tell the team that the draft's in May, the season starts in September. You need to know whether you've got a quarterback or not before you go into the draft or free agency, or you're mapping out your team plan. Are we targeting this guy when he becomes a free agent? Could we get him Kirk Cousins kind of situation? Do we think we could, you know, wrest someone free from another team? It's going to take a year or two to work on it. Brady, are you going to go those 2 years? Should we be drafted? You've got to know all that stuff. He can't do that. You cannot do it. That would be unfair to the team. So I don't want to hear that the team doesn't know, win or lose, he might walk away after this game. That is bad form.
I mean, look, and it's to a lesser degree, but that's essentially why they called Gronk in right before the draft, because they didn't know. And I'm just going back to this year. Like, hey, we got to have an answer here. What are you doing? Because we got to prepare. So, look, I would hope behind the scenes Brady's working with him on it, but it doesn't feel that way now. Like, it feels to me like he's leveraging them. And so is this what it's going to be going forward? I think it's one of the great weasel moves of all time if he does it that way.
If he does it that way, I agree. We don't really know what he's doing behind the scenes. But the thing about, you know, there should be no mites with the team. The team has to know, and he's got to let the team know. And anything short of that's unfair. It's just bad form. All right? So that's item number one. We'll take your thoughts on that. In another sort of internet development that I think you're going to hear here first, like you did the Brady comment the other day. And again, I don't really know what's out there or what's not. I'm not on Twitter, so if this has been out there, then you've heard it elsewhere. But I think you might be hearing it here first. Again, like that Brady comment that was given to Jim Murray on Instagram from a follower. No one else had reported that or known that Brady had that 45-5 thingy there.
In 45.
Until we mentioned it. So here's another one that I think you've not heard anywhere else. Jimmy, again, Big Jim Murray has been sent pictures the last couple of days of Tom Brady working out on his own with Alex Guerrero and today with Julian Edelman. This is not huge news, but it does tell me a few things. And you've tweeted out the picture?
Yeah, I just tweeted out the photo, too, and I sent it to Vinny, so maybe we can get it up here momentarily.
Okay, so I don't want to blow up their spot or tell you where it was, but it's local.
Yeah.
Here in town, here in the Boston area, near Brady's house is as far as I'll go. So yesterday, Matt, someone sent you a picture of Brady tossing with Guerrero.
Correct.
So Brady and Guerrero...
And they look like they were both in the same place, yeah.
Brady and Guerrero tossing it around yesterday. Today, Brady, Guerrero, and Edelman. Which is good that Brady's working. Great, you know, he's putting in the work. Like, great. I would like it if he was out there with Malcolm Mitchell or, you know, Jordan Matthews or one of these guys.
Like, you mean the guys that he actually has to develop a rapport with?
Right. So I don't know what, you know, but at least he's working on his own. But what it does tell me, Edelman and Guerrero working together, tells me they're on the same page in some way, shape, or form on the PED thing. You know, if there was a tug of war here on who we blaming this on, I don't think, you know, that tells me that they're in a good place. That Edelman and Guerrero are in a good place, and whatever the story is going forward, that they're still together.
Yeah, Edelman would be shunned, you know, if something was up there or Brady didn't trust him or whatever, you know.
Because, or vice versa. Yeah.
I think their public comments right after the failed test sort of, like, Guerrero put it right on Edelman. You know, Guerrero came out that night that it was reported that he was facing a PED test saying, these guys train with other people, we do it the right way. So Guerrero came right out and said, whatever he did, he wasn't doing it here. And Edelman, in his statements, did not exonerate Guerrero. Like, Edelman easily could have said in his public thing that, you know, I still don't know what's going on, I'm appealing it, but I do know for a fact that Alex Guerrero has never told me, you know, and he hasn't. So I sort of wonder if those two were sort of putting it on each other. Like, you know, that there's a little finger pointing going on there. But the fact they're working out tells me that they're on the same page either way. And I do wonder what that tells me about Guerrero and the team. I don't know. Still, Brady is obviously still all in with Alex Guerrero. That's obvious with those pitchers. But that's just a little aside. Brady working it right now as we speak today, yesterday, throwing with Alex Guerrero and Julian Edelman today anyway. Big Jim Murray's going to tweet that out. If we can get permission, we'll throw it up on the simulcast, I suppose. And so there's just another little thing for you. Very little. Finally, third Patriot item for your perusal. You want Eric Decker?
Sure. Why not? I mean, when I say why not, as long as it's not any sort of big money. And, I mean, if you can give me somebody who's, you know, a good-sized target in the red zone, I'll take it.
Okay, so here's Eric. You want to just play it real quickly? Here's Eric Decker sort of aligning himself with you on satellite radio yesterday, Jimmy Stewart.
Have you had any talks with New England? Is that maybe something in the back of your mind you feel like would be a good fit?
I think it would. You know, being drafted by Coach McDaniels in Denver, playing one season with them. I talked with New England actually last year when I was going through the free agency process late, and it's always an option that I would definitely love to entertain. I have not really spoken with anyone from that side.
Okay, so he says he hasn't spoken to him yet, but, you know, interested, pitching himself to you probably. I like him. I mean, I like the player. I liked him with the Jets. I think he was a, you know, pretty functional guy with the Jets. Back-to-back years in New York, he had 74 and 80 grabs. That's pretty good. Except I don't know what he's got now. Like, you know, the Jets move on from him. He goes to Tennessee and does nothing. Does just
he
about
was basically useless there last year.
Just about nothing. I mean, he did have 54 catches. So I take it back. He did start half the games and have 54 catches. He's only 30. It's not like he's 37. He's 30. I guess you'll get him at his age 31 year. I mean, if he's minimum and you bring him in for a tryout, like why not? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like that's a no brainer. But you know, like beyond that, should it be more than that? I mean, do you think he's someone that could be a real factor for you?
I mean, given what their wide receiving core looks like at the moment, I'd extend myself a little bit for him. Yeah, I would. And again, the thing that sticks out to me with Decker is the size. So, you know, over that, and I have his numbers up here in front of me, from, you know, 2012 to 2015, there's a four-year period there, he scored 41 touchdowns. 41. An average of 10 a season, a little over 10. Like, you know, to me, they could use another option, someone big to throw the ball to other than Gronk. And so I always like a big target in the, you know, in the red zone. I'll take that any day of the week.
And McDaniels has some familiarity with him because he had him in Denver. So there's a connection there. Why not? If you can get him a cheap money.
Can I go back to Brady for a second?
Sure.
The more I think of it, actually, it does bug me now that I see these pictures. It's like, why can't you do that at Gillette with some of the other guys? I mean, you're clearly working every day.
Right, because that's on their terms.
And you're clearly in town. So it's not like, you know, I didn't see your kids running around there. It's not like there's family time there. I know you're big into the family time. But you took time out of your day the last couple days to go practice, to go throw the ball to your receiver. Why couldn't you just do that with the team?
He could have. The whole family time thing is a ridiculous, absurd excuse. And again, we always issue the disclaimer, a caveat, of if there's some sort of major personal issue, a family issue in the house that nobody knows about, well, then obviously, fine, then you let that one go.
And I would even say if...
But I think it's bullcrap. What's he doing on a boat in Monaco?
And again, these pictures we have are in the Boston area, close to his home. It's like, if he were doing that in Costa Rica, I wouldn't feel as aggravated by it because, okay, he took a family vacation to Costa Rica and that where he is, and he brought some receivers down to work, and so, you know, he can't go to OTAs because he's in Costa Rica. Got it. Even Monaco. All right, so he had a business thing. He's here. He's here, and he's getting up, and he's going to work out. He's here, and he's getting up to go throw. He's here to get up and go work with his teammates. It's only Edelman, but he's doing it. Why couldn't he just do that last week in Foxborough with everybody else and actually put in some valuable time with his teammates?
Because he doesn't want to be around the coach unless he absolutely positively has to, and it's going to start costing him money.
Like, so to me,
that's what it is.
That's sort of my aggravation there.
You should be aggravated, but again, like the message is the same as it has been. I'll be there when I have to be. The rest of the time, I'm not coming. I'm not doing it out of the goodness of my heart anymore. I'm not doing it voluntarily. When I'm required to be there, I will be there. Other than that, you're on your own.
Okay, we're tracking NBA rumors, Celtics rumors. We'll give you the very latest on that right here in Murray's update. We've got this on the table. You want to chat about it? You can. I'm going to give you a Bruins minute because there's a rumble out there. There's a rumble about something pretty seismic, pretty major that may be percolating around the Boston Bruins. We'll tell you what that is and get some insight on it right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now, we're giving you a lot today, mostly Celtics rumors. Give you a little Patriots stuff right there. Get back to the Celtics stuff and those, again, the very latest here in a second. But I want to give you a hockey thing, too, because we heard a rumble earlier that sort of shook me. And so let's explore this further, and let's explore this further, Maz, with something we've never done before.
Okay.
Let's do a live 3-minute interview.
Ooh, live. I like it.
So instead of hanging,
you mean in person, face-to-face?
In person, face-to-face. So instead of hanging up with the guy, hanging up on the guy at 3 minutes, we're going to kick him out of the studio at 3 minutes.
I like it.
Okay?
I think we should do that with more people, even Murray.
Let's do it, Jimmy.
It's time for the Felger and Maz 3-minute interview. Let's go!
Talk! Ty Anderson writes for 98.5thesportshub.com. He joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. What am I hearing on John Tavares, Ty?
Well, this is one of those interesting ones, right, where this is a player that's available. He might listen to some offers. I think he re-signs in New York, but you're talking about moving crazy. You're talking about moving Backus. There has to be a reason for that, right? You're not just moving these guys for the sake of moving them, whether you like them or not. So I think that's, you know, if that's what they want to do, you know, maybe. It's going to take a lot, though. I don't think that they're considered a favorite, but I like... You know, if it gets to that point and they get a meeting, you'd have to like their chances as much as anybody else.
I mean, to me, it's... Look, we heard these reports from Dreger last week that they're taking calls on Krejci, they'd like to move Backus, and they're in it for something big. And I never connected the dots. Like, I mean, just moving on from Krejci to me is big. So are they clearing that space? That would be, if they clear Backus and Krejci, and not counting what comes back, but, I mean, that's just... That's 12, 13 million bucks right there, just those two guys. Tavares, if McDavid makes 12, Tavares is going to come in at 11, 10 a year at least. Could they really be looking at John effing Tavares?
Well, that's one of those things. If it does happen, now you're talking about you have $25 million to play with this summer. They would spend that. They would absolutely spend that, whether it's on... And I think they would do the load up because San Jose wants to do this. San Jose wants Tavares and Kovalchuk. That's what they want to do. That's their big move. I think they realize the time is now to sort of strike there and make that happen. So the Bruins would try something similar. I think that's what they would want to do.
Why is Kovalchuk in that discussion? Why is he 35-year-old Russian who hasn't been here in 5 years? Like, I don't want to hear about Kovalchuk.
Have you seen the other options in the market, though? It's a wasteland. It is horrible. Especially if you can convince him to play the right side. The right side has nobody of value on the free agent market. Nobody. It goes Rick Nash and then like Alex Chiasson is the number two option. Nobody wants that. Nobody.
Okay, what about the idea of getting a defenseman, left shot defenseman? Does that factor in too?
I think so. I think the biggest thing, though, is that Don Waddell, the new GM in Carolina, sort of shut down Hanifin rumors yesterday, saying he talked to one team, and that one team leaked it to the media that Hanifin is available. And he sort of said, and I thought this was a telling quote here.
Who was that team? Do we know?
I would assume it's either the Bruins, the Canucks, maybe the Oilers, you know, Detroit.
I assume it's Chiarelli by default.
yeah, I say Chiarelli too. I blame
Chiarelli loves talking to the media. It's one of his favorite things to do. No, I would say that...
Can I just stop you? Folks, did you hear that? Why do you think DJ Bean, why do you think these Bruins writers were so up the backside of Chiarelli and Julian all these years? Why do you think? Just do the math. Ty Anderson just told you. Peter loves talking. Okay, so proceed.
No, but I think, and one of the quotes that Waddell had that I thought was telling was he said, "We're not trading a 21-year-old defenseman for a good 30-year-old." And in my head, I went, "Oh, that's David Krejci. That's Torrey Krug. Those are those guys that you would theoretically pitch to the Hurricanes in a trade offer, saying, hey, give us Hanifin, we'll give you these guys." So I think that, you know, it would take a big deal to get Hanifin, you know, if he is that left side defenseman that you're talking about. You're talking about Jake DeBrusk, I think, as a starter. Do you want to do that? I personally don't. I think DeBrusk is a gamer on a roster that doesn't really have too many of them come postseason time. But no, that ask is astronomical, and you have many teams looking for that. The Canucks want it. The Oilers want it. Like I said, the Red Wings have been searching for an upgrade now for what feels like years. So it's going to be tough for the Bruins to get a guy like Hanifin.
Independent of Hanifin, you mentioned Krug. What's the likelihood he's still a Bruin next year?
Clock's ticking, Anderson.
I think it's a real thing. I think that Grizzlick's re-signing didn't really solve anything. I think you still look at it. The Bruins have said too much to not make a move for a defense, in my opinion. Neely has addressed it. Sweeney has looked for it for 4 years now. It's time to actually make it happen. And they have the pieces. They have the cap space. No excuses. And it's now or never. You don't want these two younger players, these two undersized players, rather, on your left side behind Chara. So this is the offseason to strike. You have a 41-year-old captain, a 33-year-old number one center. You know, Krejci's not getting any younger. Backes isn't getting any younger if they're still here. You know, so you need to get this guy now. You know, you can't wait another year, in my opinion.
Okay, so this is my last question. And I'm sort of interested in this. That's their approach about sort of accelerating the thing, as opposed to just standing pat and waiting for these kids to get old. Because, again, they've done a great job drafting and developing. We think they got a lot of guys coming. Why not just wait and let that play out? But you say that they're going to try and accelerate it a little bit. Why?
They should. I mean, you don't know when Chara's going to fall off a cliff here. You don't, like,
he's hanging on. He's hanging on to the cliff.
That's the thing. I mean, and it's remarkable to watch, and I mean, it's fascinating, but you know it's going to come at some point, I think, and it's going to look bad when it does. And I think Rask, you have maybe another 2 years where he is a capable goaltender. I think you're seeing the dip. It's happening. They need to manage his minutes now. You know, the salary is still what it is. So, and again, you guys know me. You know, I'm a Tuca guy, but you do have a ceiling here where it's going to start to actually fall apart here. So I think that the window, you know, the kids are great, but they are a win-now team. Don't fool yourself. They are a win-now team.
Okay. Keep your eye on Tavares. Keep your eye on that one. All right, Anderson, get out.
All right.
Thanks for coming down. Read Ty Anderson on 98.5thesportshub.com. There's your three-minute interview.
Yep. Bye, Anderson.
In live form. We don't hang up on him, but we do kick him out of the studio. Yeah, get out. All right, so we've got this on the table. You want to weigh in on this? We got the Patriots stuff that we just hit on, if you want to weigh in on that, but we're mostly Celtics. You want them to move up the board? Lots of rumors about them moving up the board. Local guys have tried to shoot it down, but to me, I would love to see them do it. More than anything, I'd love to see them sell high on Terry Rozier. That's my big thing. I think that you're not going to get any more out of Terry Rozier than you got last year. His value is never going to be higher. Get someone stupid out there to overpay. So whether that means, well, just a veteran player coming back, but really tonight in the draft, if that gets you to move up with your other assets to really get up the board, I would really love to see them do that.
Boy, you really love Tavares, huh?
He's stud.
Okay, so
stud.
If it's one or the other, Tavares or left shot defenseman, what are you getting?
Defenseman.
Okay.
Because that's how I think the league's gone. I think that's the more valuable position. But Tavares is a game changer. He's superstar. Superstar MVP candidate. I mean, I don't know if he's ever, how high he's ever gotten there, but he's that kind of talent. So anyway, there's that Bruins stuff if you want that. All this Celtics stuff, Dwight Howard is being bought out. You need rim protection. He's there on the street for free. How do
no
you feel
thanks.
About that, Maz?
No.
You didn't make that clear.
No.
Your call's on all of it. 617-779-0985. Phones are open. Couple open lines. Grab them, and we'll talk to you right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, to your phones. Ed in Cambridge been waiting on the Celtics. Thanks for hanging on, Ed. What do you got?
What I have is, I think Bamba is exactly the kind of player that Ainge likes. He's very much like Jaylen Brown when I think about it. Raw athleticism, tremendous upside potential, and he's pretty bright, too. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, Jimmy Stewart, why do you think there are no on Mo Bamba? I'm sorry, Jimmy Stewart was doing something else. Why do you think there are no on Mo Bamba?
I just don't think they fit the profile of the player that they want. They want perimeter defense. They want three-point shooting. And they want motion offense players, and I don't think he fits that criteria.
Don't they keep talking rim protection?
Yeah, so to me, the big thing is that, you know, his offensive game needs work. And that's where I see the deficiency with him, like, which is another reason why I hear these Dwight Howard rumors, and I say, are you people high? Dwight Howard? Like, how does Dwight Howard fit what the Celtics want to do?
Rim protection and rebounding.
Okay, but he can't do anything at the other end of the floor that fits their offense. He can't shoot free throws. He can't do anything. He's useless. I'd rather have Aaron Baines. I would. At least Baines is, you know, will chuck up a jumper every now and then.
And that's the type of player that they're looking for. Greg Monroe, Aaron Baines, that type of player.
So now, look, you know, Monroe in a lot of ways didn't fit a ton of what they wanted to do either. He was slow, and he was a post player. And
if they had him all year, they'd have him shooting threes at the end of the year like they had Baines. They want the big guy to go out there and shoot a three.
Absolutely. So I look at Howard, and I said, look, I hate Howard. I can't stand what he stands for.
As a person.
Okay, but I do. And that's the word, professional. How does he fit what they want to do here? How does he fit what they want to do offensively? And how does he fit their culture? They have good, like, professional, hardworking players for the most part. So, you know, even the ones that we say drive us crazy, you know, it's not because they're lazy. Like, you don't look at Rozier and say he's a dog. No. Smart? No. They all play hard. You know, they're committed. That guy? No way. I would lose respect for Ainge if they brought Howard in here.
Okay, so I'm just curious. So about the, you know, the trading up scenario, Is it just to get up there to get one of the big guys and they're okay whichever one it is? Is it just to get up there because they don't believe in next year's draft? Is it just to get up there because we're trading Rozier anyway, so we might as well play this year? You know, or is it, no, Luka Doncic. We want this because this guy, everyone's missing the boat on him. He's the next special thing. We want him. Or is it because of Bamba? Or who was the guy that you mentioned yesterday, Stu, with the injury history from Missouri?
Michael Porter Jr.
Porter Jr. So, like, or is it one specific guy? Is that for one specific? It should be for one specific guy, right?
Yeah, to me, they have to have guys that they like up there. And even if it's not one specific guy, let's say they, of this, you know, 6 to 8 at the top of the draft, they look and say, we like about 3 of them, right? And one of those guys is available at 7, and you can go get him, then go get him. Go get him. To me, again, this is a draft to do it in. I just question, what I question is whether they really have the collateral to do it. Because, like you were saying earlier with Sacramento, if you had the number 2 pick, would you trade it for 1 year of Kyrie Irving or 1 year of Kawhi Leonard?
No way.
No, not in a million years. So, like, you know, because, again, what good's that going to do you in the short term? I think that guys, those picks up high in the draft have so much value to get them. You got to, like, be willing to give up a ton.
Again, 617-779-0985. Tron is in Dorchester. Hi, Tron.
What's up? Yeah. So, Maz, I don't understand why you're hating on Dwight. Yes, whatever. He'll still be a great addition to the team. And we have such a team chemistry. Remember, the coach is such the whatever. So, Dwight would fit right in and would just listen to the coach.
No,
and
he
have
wouldn't.
A good coaching system around. Yeah, they would.
No, he wouldn't.
When he had Kevin McHale, he was doing great.
He's a
and
bum.
James Harden got Kevin McHale fired.
He's a bum.
So, stop it. Oh, come on, man. Come on. Stop hating.
Thank you, Sean.
We need to fire Al Horford.
Stop hating, Mass. Thanks for the call, Tron.
So, that, again, but I'll come back. Tell you what, take my personal feelings for his unprofessionalism aside. How about the free throws? How about the offensive game, quote-unquote, game? Like, how does he fit what they want to do? They just want to dump the ball into Dwight Howard and have him get, he's not a good passer.
How does Greg Monroe fit what they want to do?
Okay, but at least Monroe was a good passer.
Look,
but they respected his passing skills.
That's why they have Monroe to pass. He's a low post play. He's a dinosaur. He doesn't shoot outside. And he's a
player who can play at the top of the free throw line and line up, set screens, and pass the ball to the right position.
He can function in an offense. Is all I'm saying.
And Howard can't even do that.
I don't think so. I think Howard's a bum. I do. I think
Howard's back to the basket. I'll try and dribble and get my points, but oh well, if it doesn't go in, now I'll log back on defense.
And in fact, I'd go so far as to say in the offensive end, he's a liability. Once you give him the ball, you hack him, he shoots 50%, now he's costing you a trip down the floor. No way. No thanks. And then on top of it all, you're going to introduce that knucklehead into your locker room with the group you've got who's going to take nights off on top of it? No way. No thank you.
Okay, Tom Brady continues to get up in Boston, put on the pads, and work out and play football. Just not with you. Just not with you. We tweeted out the pictures of Brady working out today with Edelman and Guerrero. And yet there was no... He didn't show up last week, and they canceled the last couple of days, and we know the story there. Linda in Texas, do you have a thought on that?
Yes, I think Tom Brady is going to – he's going to screw the team over. He's going to just keep going and going and going, and when the season starts, he's going to just screw it up.
Okay, screw it up how? Like, what do you mean, not play well?
No, not play. He's not practicing, not play well. And I think he's just going to just leave, like, Belichick, like, hey, here you go.
Okay, so this thing I hit on earlier, because on Willie McGinnis' comment, that McGinnis thinks that if the Pats win it all this year, he could have a walk-off from Brady. He could just retire into the sunset. He says that could have happened last year, which I think is not acceptable, unless he's told the team beforehand. But then again, then that's not based on him winning and walking off into the sunset. He can't leave the team in the lurch where they don't know if he's going to play or not. They have to know what his plan is. And at least to the point where it's not, well, if we win, he's in. If he loses, we'll see how he feels. Like, you can't have that. When John Elway did it, the Broncos knew. They knew. Could plan their draft board, could plan their free agent strategy, could plan the whole thing. And so Brady doesn't owe it to us. I don't care if he tells the world if he's retiring or not. I don't care if he tells us or the media or whoever how many years he has left. He has to tell the team.
Okay, so I have two questions for you here as it pertains to this. One, Brady and McGinnis are boys, right?
Yep.
Okay, so, you know, earlier in the week you were saying that what if all this Brady stuff is just a contract ploy?
Yep.
Is there any chance that because Brady's his boy, Willie's helping him with a contract?
Maybe.
In other words, the public perception of it.
So maybe. I mean, let me just tell you, I totally disagree with McGinnis. I don't think Brady's going to do that. I don't think Brady playing or not is dependent on him winning or not. I do not think that that's the case. I think he's going to play or not based on his business, his wife, how he's feeling, what he's getting paid, how the team's treating his trainer, how the team's treating him, all these other factors. And he's not going to base it on, I'm going to win this year or not win this year. That's not, that shouldn't be a factor.
Okay, so here's my second question then, and this is unrelated. But if you're Kraft, do you now look back at the Garoppolo deal and regret it?
We discuss this 4 hours a day, every day. I would, for sure.
No, but what do you think Kraft feels?
Not yet.
I wonder.
I think he's so indebted to Brady and so in Brady's jock that he's okay with it now.
I wonder.
If it gets worse, I mean, look, to me it's a bad look that he's not practicing with the team. I hate it. I hate it. I don't think Robert cares at this point. I don't think Robert cares. In fact, he gave him a hall pass. He's like, yeah, what do you want? He's got businesses. You imagine the gall? Like, can you imagine that statement where your most important player blows off spring practices where the coach asks the players to show up and the owner says, ah, he doesn't have to, it's voluntary, and what do you want? He's got businesses now. Like, oh, just awful, but it tells you that Robert's not bothered by it.
See, I don't know, I wonder. I go back to that comment he made about the contract, and he said at this point, nobody, you know, everybody's happy with the contract we have. And I'm wondering if that was Kraft's way of saying no. Like, I don't know, that comment doesn't, I found that comment to be unusual. Like, I found that comment to be unusual. Everybody's happy. Meanwhile, the agent's out there saying, well, we're always open to discussing a new contract. So then everybody's not happy. So what's Kraft doing, giving him the finger?
All right, maybe he is. He should pay him, I think.
I don't blame Kraft. If I were Kraft, I would do exactly what he's doing. Nothing. Brady gets nothing else.
Felger and Mazz, the Sports Hub.